Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Matt Roberts of Speak Creative, and today we are discussing how to land your first big client. Matt has served Speak Creative as the VP of Marketing and Sales for over 15 years. He's known as an expert relationship builder, helping organizations across the nation chart a path to reach their digital goals. In his free time, Matt enjoys serving on the board of Mercy House, an organization that provides rent-free short-term housing to give stability to residents while they get back on their feet. Matt is also a permanent panelist for the marketing podcast, A Little Off Topic. Thanks so much for joining us today, Matt.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us,
sounds great.
Where are you tuning in from today?
So I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. Lovely, cool fall weather outside. It's pretty great.
I love Tennessee. We used to actually, fun fact, we used to go vacationing every single year from Canada to Tennessee growing
really?
Up. So yes.
Okay.
Yeah, my parents had a trade show, so we always went to Florida and we stopped halfway in Tennessee. And so yeah, I absolutely love it in Tennessee.
That's awesome. That's great. I love that you know Tennessee a little bit. That's fantastic. It's a great place to be.
It really is. And then, so what would you say motivates or inspires you?
Ooh. it's a great question. It's one that I have a super succinct answer to. Other than I love coming in every day and working with the folks that I get to work with and seeing like being able to actually see solutions come to life, and not in like a man, we completed that project way, but in a way that we look at it and say, holy cow, the thing that we thought was going to work actually worked.
Yeah.
which shouldn't be a surprise, right? You know, we're hopefully pretty good at what we do and everything. So it doesn't really come as a surprise. It's more just being able to see the team do what they do and succeed. That gives me a lot of energy. I got great folks that I work with. So it's
that's
just
awesome.
There's not a great succinct answer other than I just love what I do and love the people I do it with.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. And then, so tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Oh man, it's a good question. I graduated from the University of Alabama with a marketing degree with a specialization in what back then was called e-commerce,
okay.
Which, you know, it was like the very beginning of them trying to have a specialization around anything having to do with the internet. So that was kind of as close as I got in school. And I mean, it's one of those things where my entry point kind of into Speak and into digital marketing were really the same thing.
So
I graduated in 2005, in the fall of 2005, and by the spring of 2006, I had found out about an opening with Speak as an account manager, and I just knew, sorry, I'll silence my phone, sorry if you could hear that, but I just knew that I wanted to be involved in some way in helping folks kind of get movement online.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a confluence of events that kind of brought me to Speak. And so I kind of started off my career kind of jumping into, it wasn't even called digital marketing back then, but just kind of the baby steps of what marketing would be. And then just as kind of I grew in Speak, the kind of the agency world, at least our agency world, kind of started to turn a corner where we got very kind of what we would call ourselves as kind of a digital first agency. And that's, so I've kind of grown right along with it.
That's awesome. And then, so you've been with Speak for 15 years. So that's a yeah. long time to be with one company nowadays. That's impressive.
Yeah, I started off at Speak when I was 22. I'm 37 now. It's been a good ride, and it'll be this coming April will be 16 years. So hopefully it'll be another 15 more. Love what I do.
That's amazing. And then, so how does Speak differentiate itself from other agencies?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think this kind of answer feels like always like a fraught opportunity to try to sell your particular agency. And obviously I believe strongly in what we do and how we do it. I think the kind of the category of agency that we are, there are other great shops that do similar things to what we do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things where what differentiates us, from a work product perspective is probably in some cases, not super different than you would get with any other kind of high performance digital agency. You know, you're going to get great service. You're going to get, you know, great results. You're going to work with people that you like. And so the way that we really feel like we differentiate ourselves is really in our values and in our people and the type of work that we take on. We believe really strongly in creating a great culture. And so those are things that we hope our clients feel, mm-hmm. that they're working with people who really love their jobs. Because there's that, you know, if I'm going to sit down in a meeting and really be engaged with this agency as a partner long term, you know, we suspect that the folks across the table want to enjoy working with the people that they work with.
Definitely.
And so of course we want to be sharp and have really great recommendations and use data to really drive momentum and drive results. But we want to do that in context of being really great people to work with. So I feel like that's not universal. I mean, we don't have the stranglehold on that. Of course, there are other groups that are great to work with, but that's really where we feel like we found a great place to be.
Okay. I love that. So let's delve into our topic now. So today we're going to be talking about how to land your first big client. So tell me, how did you guys land your first big client, or how did they find you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we didn't really so much find our first big clients as much as we really just went, we went fishing as much as we could.
Yep.
And I think, you know, for us, we look out into the marketplace and see there are obviously a bunch of big fish. You know, this was several years ago when we kind of really got our first client that we looked at and thought, holy cow, we get to work with this brand and it's this big client and we're really excited. So, but there was a lot of work that went into that. So we kind of strategically try to introduce ourselves through meaningful outreach. And so, you know, rather than sending emails and doing cold calls and kind of all that stuff, we've just found a really nice kind of rhythm of identifying organizations that we would like to work with. Mm-hmm. And we kind of put everything, we put a packet together with some branded local swag, handwritten notes, and just an introduction to just say, hey, you know, here's who we are. If you don't know who we are, we want you to know who we are and that we're in the marketplace. And if there's an opportunity for us to ever kind of get in the same room together and talk through ideas, we'd love to. Okay. And sometimes that's enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's enough for somebody to reach out and say, hey, you know, thanks for the stuff. but even if they don't, it's just a really good way to kind of provide a warm introduction into maybe more traditional outreach through email or through a phone call. It just opens the door a little bit because there's already some warmth and enthusiasm that's been applied toward the relationship. We did a bunch of that. And, you know, eventually that turned into somebody saying, hey, yeah, actually let's talk a little bit.
That's really cool. And then, so do you guys have an effective foot in the door strategy attached to that? Like a specific service that you might offer? Or you just kind of put this package together and it's just kind of a general introduction to you guys?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we, getting into kind of the weeds of kind of how we do our outreach a little bit more. I mean, that's really where we look at where we feel like each organization that we're reaching out to might have some either some difficulty or some opportunity for us to come in the door and help. Mm-hmm. So we would, you know, I don't want to say that we're going to come in and completely craft a completely separate experience from one organization to the next, but we do try to highlight, you know, with the stuff that we include in the packet. Mm-hmm. We've got some great branded marketing materials that kind of go in along with it. And we try to highlight organizations or case studies that might kind of feel connected to that person. So they might kind of see some similar either needs or use cases, along with, you know, some coffee and a branded mug and a, you know, handwritten note that hopefully says, you know, hey, we're human. We'd love to work with you. This, you know, we're great to work with.
I love that. That's really creative. But you guys are in marketing, right? So it's expected.
hopefully we can market ourselves well. That is the
goal. Exactly. Yes. So what do you think was the biggest reason that your client said yes?
It's a good question. The connection, I know that at least in the specific instance of us really looking at like our first big client that we brought through the door, the ability for us to demonstrate that we had worked with kind of other organizations that I wouldn't say that they would call peers, but maybe what they would look at and say, oh, okay, these are maybe some up and coming players kind of within our own market space that they looked at and were able to say, oh, okay, cool. You kind of already know our industry a little bit. You know, we've got a similar need. It's obviously maybe on a bigger scale. Mm-hmm. And so it, just being able to kind of have that connection, we've seen that be, that was certainly the case with the first kind of big client that we brought on board. In other cases, it's just been that, like, so I'm going to kind of back up a step and talk about kind of our strategy, maybe more broadly. When we say we want to kind of work with an organization, we might target that organization, but we might say we've got a 2-year time horizon or expectation for that type of relationship to maybe develop into something.
Okay.
So the first part of that is looking at who are the other organizations that this group would look at and say, hey, they're my peers, or they are these up and coming players. So that we can build up a book of business to actually show to that organization. That's obviously good for us because one, it's just good business to bring in new business.
Yeah.
But then it starts kind of pointing us in a particular kind of mode of travel, mm-hmm. where that big client that's kind of at the end of the line that we want to reach out to sees that there's kind of work along the way that we can point back to.
Yeah.
And in some cases we get lucky where actually somebody that we worked with previously, because we're kind of moving in the same direction of travel, they've actually gone on to that big client that we worked with. And we get to kind of do a little bit of a shortcut because they're like, hey, actually, I loved working with you guys where I was previously. I'm now in this bigger role or with this bigger organization and, you know, would love to get you guys involved. And that's been really effective as well. And that's, okay. You know, sometimes you just create your own luck in that way where you, you know, if you really kind of back up and take a strategic approach to the type of client you want to work with, mm-hmm. You know, you do the diligent work to kind of start to build relationships and it ends up paying off in that direction.
Absolutely. And then, so how did you and your team feel, you know, you've landed this big client. How did you guys feel at the beginning of the project?
Yeah. It was one of those things that, you know, kind of mixed emotions, if I'm being honest. There's the excitement of being able to say, hey, we're working with client X.
Yes, so exciting.
And, you know, that feels like a really, you know, that just feels like one of those things that you're just very proud of. Mm-hmm. But then honestly, there's a lot of frustration. It seems like the bigger the client that you work with, kind of the more like, hey, the contract is yours. We're going with you guys. And then you got like 90 days of paperwork to get actually onboarded and approved as a vendor and kind of everything else that can happen when you kind of do this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So by the time we were actually ready, you know, everything was approved. We were ready to get started. There was just kind of this sense of relief of, okay, we're ready to do what we do. We believe in ourselves. We're going to do a great project or mm-hmm. great campaign. And the client, you know, our client contact sponsor for the project, kind of all on the way, is feeling the same type of frustration. We're ready to get started. And so there's kind of just this sense of relief and release that, like, okay, finally we're ready to be there. And, you know, there's kind of the excitement takes over again.
Okay, awesome. And then, so how did your business really change after bringing on that big client? You know, like, did your team grow? Did you guys continue to bring on other really large size clients? What was that like?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I suspect, you know, it's different for everybody. For us, I mentioned it earlier in kind of the culture we try to create. Probably more than anything else, we really try to protect our team. So we try to create a good work-life balance where, you know, folks can go home at the end of the day. You know, you come mm-hmm. in at the beginning of the day, you put in a solid 40 hours. Coming at the beginning of the week, you put in a solid 40 hours. And, you know, by the end of the week, you're done. Like, we don't want to have to do all-nighters or, you know, work long weekends or those types of things. So we want to be able to protect our team, mm-hmm. Create great work-life balance. So I give all that preamble to say, it was really exciting to get our first big client. The thing that we didn't want to do is have that shift how we are able to do what we do on a daily and weekly basis. So we continued mm-hmm. to pursue other big clients, other big relationships, but the value there, and kind of in my role as you know, kind of looking at kind of our marketing and sales activity, is to make sure that we've got a good mix of clients who you know, no one client makes up more than a, you know, handful of a percentage of our revenue, so that we don't have somebody who can really kind of dictate terms to us, and there's nobody that we hold on to too tightly that we're super dependent on.
Yeah.
Because that, just from a financial standpoint and from a stability standpoint, that keeps us in a good place.
Exactly.
So we're not, you know, we're not having to make hard decisions if a client moves on or goes out of business. We've got a great mix of clients that, you know, can sustain and keep, you know, keep this great base of stability. So kind of where we went after landing that first big client, we learned a lot about kind of our outreach strategy and what worked and what didn't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really what it meant for us was that we started looking at, okay, well, what are some other industries, or what are some other organizations that we want to step into and kind of start to build some tent poles, some really great organizations and brands that we work with, while still trying to create that stability.
Yeah.
Hopefully that, I feel like that was a little bit of like a word soup, but hopefully that made sense.
Definitely. No, it makes sense. Definitely. And then, so, you know, you've got this big client on with you guys. Did you have any unique challenges that you came across that you weren't expecting, that you had to deal with?
Not in the work itself. We try not to get out ahead of our skis as far as, you know, services that we pitch or the types of campaigns that we feel like we can run, especially with larger clients. We really want to sit kind of firmly within our wheelhouse of kind of what we're great at. So the client's going to come away and feel really solid about the work product that we were able to create for them. Hinted at it a minute ago, but we did have some challenges when it came to just like contracts and working with IT departments and kind of logistical processes that, you kind of step through for the first time. You're like, oh, okay, well, those are things that we should, you know, we should probably have all that written down somewhere so that the next time somebody asks, we can move through this process a little bit faster. But no real challenges. No real challenges around the work itself, more just kind of getting used to maybe a little bit more of a kind of clearinghouse at the beginning of a relationship. You know, when you're working primarily with small businesses, a lot of times, you know, all that's really necessary is to say, hey, here's a scope, there's a contract, let's get going. And, you know, 2 weeks later, you're off to the races and kind of moving. And just with, you know, kind of as the scale of organizations that you work with, is up, there's just sometimes more hoops to jump through. So that was a learning experience for us.
Yeah, it's great advice. So what advice would you give to other agencies wanting to land their first big client?
Yeah, I mentioned it a minute ago, but really, I'd really recommend that kind of from a sales and marketing perspective that, you know, groups who want to work with, you know, a bigger client or have a goal, to really look at that as a goal over time. You know, for us, it's, you know, we tend to kind of look at it as a 2-year time horizon. That's not prescriptive. You can look at it however you want to.
Mm-hmm. But it just sets, you know, the tone for that direction that you're going to just steadily work towards.
Yeah. The idea that, you know, it's, I think it's pretty common for folks to feel like, man, if I could just get that one client, you know, things would be different from organization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that one client may one day just pick up the phone and call. We just feel like there's kind of an application of effort that can go towards creating good sustainable practices and processes leading up to that call. Mm-hmm. So that you can also hopefully create your own luck where somebody sees the work that you're doing, or you do a warm intro, send a box and or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh man, yeah, you guys are already geared up and ready to work with me. Let's go.
Yeah.
So to really see it as a goal in the direction of travel, I think is a really valuable point. And then just maybe from a business operations perspective, just reinforcing the idea that landing a big client isn't going to fix anything. If anything, landing a big client can really show any organizational, financial, or process problems that you have kind of in starker relief. Mm-hmm. So definitely feel good, like feel really great about kind of your operation before you really start pitching bigger organizations. And that's where that, I keep saying direction of travel, so I apologize, but like that's where that direction of travel can really help, because mm-hmm. you're kind of building up some muscle memory for the type of work that you're going to do for this kind of ideal client that you got in your head.
That's great. And then, so do you have any recommendations or any resources that have helped you when onboarding, managing, and offboarding these clients, these big clients?
I mean, I feel like we've, so to a certain extent, probably a lot of folks listening to this will already be able to check these boxes. But, you know, to the extent that you don't have a CRM that you're using to track kind of the folks that you actively are targeting and would like to work with. Mm-hmm. And just keeping up with good contact information. How recently have we talked to them? When was, you know, do they need a new warm touch? You know, having a great CRM that you're able to dig into and use, and, you know, there are great tools that are free out there that, you know, don't cost you a thing. So that would certainly be a process or a tool that you would want to have in place, and just really good project management practices and systems. I mean, I think the biggest thing that, and for us, we had those things in place well ahead of time. So it was kind of it didn't feel like a deficiency when we kind of brought on our first big client. They felt like we had a really great system to work through and a really kind of good process to walk through. But yeah, just feeling like, you know, you've got the necessary steps and systems at a bare minimum from a marketing standpoint, making sure you've got a good CRM, and then from a project management standpoint, making sure you've got a solid system that you can invite them into and bring that client into the conversation, because they're going to want to see everything all along the way. And just being ready to have those conversations. So nothing mind blowing, but just, you know, feeling like you've got the right tools makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And where do you see Speak Creative in 5 years' time?
Oh, man. Hopefully, golly, that's a great question. Hopefully doing kind of more of what we love. We're kind of firmly in the kind of digital space. So however that space evolves over the next 5 years, I imagine we'll continue to evolve right along with it. We're currently a team of about 50 folks. I suspect, you know, in 5 years, maybe we'll be in the 75 to 100 range.
Wow.
Hopefully we continue to grow in new markets. But, you know, what that actually will look like between now and then, who knows?
Yeah, but 5 years is a long time.
I fully expect to be here. Hopefully, seeing it happen.
Awesome. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So,
okay,
what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh man, good question. So, going back a few years, How to Lead When You're Not in Charge by Clay Scroggins is a book that I really like to recommend. Mostly because, especially for those of us who might be early in our careers, it can feel like oftentimes we have the ability to make a difference, but lack the authority to do so. Mm-hmm. And he kind of walks you through what it's like to build influence that ends up creating authority. So How to Lead When You're Not in Charge, I think, is a really great book.
Cool. I love that. And what does your morning routine look like?
So I have, four little girls, so I get up early.
Four girls.
But I'm up around 4:45 every morning and at the gym by 5:15. By 6:15, I'm home and kind of making breakfast for Liz and the girls. I typically go for a mile, walk around our neighborhood. We've got kind of a good mile loop, with our black lab Maple, and then kind of get ready for the day. So I'm usually in the office around 7:30 and starting to try to set priorities for the day. But that's a pretty typical routine. 5 days out of the week, Saturday, awesome. Sunday, I tend to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. Getting that early start when you have kids is definitely key.
It makes a difference for sure.
Yes. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I feel like a little bit of a cop out with this answer. There are definitely some folks that I follow, no one that I'd say I study. I tend not to follow CEOs particularly, mm-hmm. and more follow kind of folks who might help me kind of best see new or interesting ways to look at like decisions of data. So I'm like a huge fan of Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, Revisionist History, or like Roman Mars' podcast, 99% Invisible. And then like Nate Silver kind of has a whole data-driven approach towards lots of different things, including sports and politics and all kinds of crazy stuff. So 538.com is a really great website that I like to check out. And you just get to see lots of different voices or hear lots of different voices in those formats rather than following any particular person specifically.
Interesting. I love that. And then, so this is a tough one, but what is your favorite online tool?
Oh man, this is probably the easiest question for me.
Okay, good. There's just so many options.
It's Slack. Oh man, Slack, yes. Hands down.
It's a good one.
I mentioned, we got a team of 50. And so we've got offices here in Memphis and in Nashville. And then we got some folks that work remotely for us. So just being able to stay connected and be silly with each other.
Yes. And
also hopefully use it for productive things. But Slack is great.
That's awesome. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
The thing for me is, it's like bordering on cliche. But it's play the long game. It's kind of this thing that always plays in my head, in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. And it's probably kind of sewn all throughout everything that we talked about previously, but you know, the ability to tell yourself, mentally judo yourself into believing a no is just a not yet. It's just a practice that's like so ingrained in my thinking now that it's kind of second nature. But it's certainly not something that I saw or thought of early in my career. And I think if you can kind of have a longer term mindset, as somebody who is a young professional, or, you know, even just me earlier in my career, that would have helped me a little bit.
Yeah. That's such a great point. I love that you brought that up.
Cool. Well,
thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time and it's been really great chatting with you.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.